I'm going to start sounding like a hippie here, but there's something very sacred about fruit trees. You know, they're older than me. Some of these trees were planted in the 60s.
She's 91, by the way.
And, you know, in orcharding, you're planning not just an annual crop. You're planning for decades of a crop's life. So the orchard starts to really own you. And I love that. I think it's an incredibly noble and beautiful project.
Is really that why special. People wassail around the solstice? Because you're pouring some like booze out around these old soul trees?
Oh, sure. The wassailing is a very ancient pagan tradition, right? So yeah. That's got some pretty interesting spiritual energies around it.
Plus, the apples naturally want to become booze themselves.
They do. So they're always trying to become booze.
Try doing that, Kale. Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero folks, and Ellie Vaughn from Phoenix Fruit Farm in Belchertown. As far as we know, Phil Corman from CESA, the
right.
only solo woman orchardist in Massachusetts?
Maybe New England.
Wow. How did you come upon this orchard?
Well, I've been managing it for Atkins Farms for the past couple years, and they've been trying to sell the property, and I decided to just go for it.
And now your main buyer is Atkins Farms, so it's like when Wilco made an album for Warner Brothers, and then they booted them off the label, and then they made their album on Nonesuch, and then Warner Brothers bought Nonesuch, so essentially Warner Brothers bought Wilco's album twice. So Atkins Farms sells you the orchard, and then you sell all their apples back to them. They used to be their apples.
I think it's a great arrangement.
Why did they want to sell it?
They inherited the Atkins business when Howard Atkins passed away, and they've made their focus more on their retail store, and they mm-hmm. still have another farm in Amherst that's closer to the store that they're managing, but they've decided to scale back a little bit in the farming and focus more on building their retail.
So it's working out for everybody. That's great. And you brought
apples and peaches.
Apples and peaches. So last year was a peach disaster,
right.
as everybody knows. And so how did that, you were new to this?
Well, it was still Atkins last year. I just closed on the property this year. So that was a pretty devastating crop loss. We had 80% loss on apples, 100% loss on the peaches, and taught me a lot about what the worst year can look like. So that was definitely a learning experience.
Well, the worst year would be no apples or peaches, I guess, but I'm not going to try to prognosticate that horror.
And you're doing pick your own starting this weekend, right?
We'll go all month and into October.
So what kind of apples do you grow?
Right now, we're on the early varieties. We got Molly's Delicious and Gravenstein.
And you brought a peck of apples and a half a peck of peaches. I'm supposed to eat all of them, and then I will be in Belchertown with all the internal gastronomy that goes with all that. But what are you eating right now, Phil?
He's eating a Gravenstein apple.
It's a Gravenstein, I believe.
You're putting me on.
No, it's pronounced Frankenstein.
Yes, it's a Jewish apple.
Dr. Gravenstein.
Yes, it's a Jewish apple.
I see why
apple.
You gravitated toward it.
Yes.
That's funny.
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite kind of apple, Ellie?
Oh, gosh, it changes all the time. Right now, I really love the Spencer. It's just such a complex and aromatic flavor profile. It's sweet with a little tart, but it's crisp and juicy. It's a cross between a Golden and Delicious and a Macintosh, and I think it's a very underrated apple.
It's kind of complicated to figure out the best way to grow apples in New England, the best practices to use. Can you share a little bit your interests and the research you want to keep doing around that?
So I come from a background of organic agriculture, and I'm trying to bring some of those organic and ecological approaches to the world of commercial apple production. Some of the challenges we face in this region involve fungal pressure and a lot of the insect pests as well. So what I'm trying to do is just reduce our chemical footprint by using some ecological management practices and advanced IPM practices.
IPM is?
Integrated pest management.
Oh, nice. Not IBM.
So and, North Korea is not involved in this.
I am going for a global domination eventually.
CBM, yeah.
For now, I'm not using any herbicide. I don't use any chemicals that are harmful to pollinators or to people. And I'm also eco-certified through the IPM Institute this year on my apple crop.
Why do you call the farm Phoenix Farm?
Well, it's sort of a rebirth. This farm that I inherited had kind of been a little bit neglected. I don't want to say totally because it's still got some nice productive trees on it, but I'm sort of rejuvenating it and giving it new life and a new name and a new face.
Plus, so, you burned the whole place down first.
Yeah, it just rose up from the ashes.
Ellie Vaughn from Phoenix Fruit Farm in Belchertown and Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero folks, buylocalfood.org.